All right, I'm just going to put it out there right off the gate. I'm pretty nervous about the whole thing. Never done it before, so just kind of bear with me here. My name's Alex Toth. I'm from Huntington. Pretty much lived there my whole life. I didn't really have a bad growing up. I've never met my father. My mom's actually a lesbian. But it wasn't like a bad situation. She was always with somebody, you know what I'm saying? Like, she was with the same woman for 12 years. And then that's pretty much when everything went downhill, when they split up. And I got like a really small family. I got two aunts and two uncles, and that was pretty much it. They didn't have any kids, so I was the only child. No cousins, no nothing, so... like, it was pretty much just all about me. And then, I don't know exactly what happened, but right at 12, both aunts and uncles moved away, and then their relationship split up, and I don't know, I just felt abandoned. And I didn't realize it at the time, but that was something that really affected me, and it was something that I held on to pretty deep. And I started smoking pot, drinking and everything about 12. Pretty much started everything you could possibly do at 12. Just anything I could to get my mind off with stuff going on. But I never dealt with it. So pretty much from the age of 12 until, I don't know exactly when I started using meth. Probably 2013. That's when everything kind of like really went downhill. I have three daughters. They're 11, 9, and 5. When the third one was born, her name's Autumn. I was high, and her mom had been using Vicodin and pot. So she failed a meconium test at the hospital, and DCS got involved. And I went to take her in for a two-week checkup at the doctor, and a DCS lady came in there and kind of put me on the spot and told me I had to take a drug test. And I didn't know I had a choice in it, or I wouldn't have, because I was high out of my mind. But I took it, and I failed, and they sent the cops and everything to the house where my ex was with the other two kids. And she took one and failed, so they took the kids that day. And I was high to the point where I couldn't cry. Wow. I can definitely cry now. But, yeah, that was pretty rough. Then I actually did pretty good for about 3 months. And the DCS lady kept telling us, you know, it's okay if you guys relapse. We understand. Like, it's, you know, it's part of recovery. So eventually I ended up getting high. And it was not okay by any means. They stripped our visits. Everything went completely downhill. So I pretty much... man.
All right,
bro. In Huntington, they have a thing called a daddy-daughter dance. And it was something that I wanted to do with them. And I couldn't stop getting high, so I ended up not being able to take them. Stuff got... oh, man. That affected me for a really long time. It still does. But I kind of just gave up after that. And I started cooking dope. Cooking meth. And that's when I started using the needle and everything. Actually, my first batch, I asked a guy for a needle and just started shooting it right then and there. And everything got pretty crazy then. Completely gave up on the DCS situation. I ended up going in and out of jail for a couple years. And the DCS case lasted 2 years. It got to the point where we were going to lose our rights. They were in foster care the whole time. And our only option pretty much was to sign over temporary custody to my ex's mom. So that's what we did. And I didn't stop using by any means. Everything just kept getting worse and worse. So, goodness. Completely not following my deal here. It was definitely probably the darkest, loneliest time in my life. I pushed everybody away. I just had to keep getting high so I didn't feel it. I had very few friends. Realistically, I probably didn't have any at the time. There was only one guy that I considered a friend. His name was Josh. And his parents own a Pentecostal church in Andrews. And they were letting him stay in the basement. And I used to go over there and hang out with them. We'd get high in the basement. And then eventually I needed a place to cook. So he let me go in the attic of his church and cook dope. And it was, I don't know, that was, that's just where I was at the time. Like, it didn't even cross my mind what I was doing, you know? But like I said, he was pretty much the only one that I considered a friend. And I don't know, at some point, I didn't have any money. And he had a pocket full of, he just got his prescriptions filled for Ritalin and Vicodin. And he had about an 8-ball of ice. And I set him up in the basement of that church. And he got hit with brass knuckles, and we pulled a gun on him and robbed him. And that was something that ate me up for a really long time. But like I said, I was high. I was just crazy high all the time, so I didn't feel it. You know what I mean? I knew it bothered me somewhere in there, just like with the DCS stuff, but I stayed high, so I couldn't. So I couldn't feel it. Then everything, well, shortly after that, I ended up robbing a gas station in Huntington. We waited outside. It was kind of just spur of the moment. We needed money for dope, and that seemed like the best way to go about getting it. So we waited outside for him to close. We actually waited for the last car to leave. Tried to come around the corner and go in, but the guy had already locked the door, so we had to come back and wait until he came out to take the trash out, put a gun in his face, had him go inside, tied him up. We got about $600, 35 cartons of cigarettes. I stole his, he had like $20 in his wallet. It was all in ones for some reason. I don't know exactly what he had going on, but I took that. Then we stole his car as a getaway. And went and bought dope. And we actually got away with it for about a month and a half. And then the guy that I had robbed it with, like, we were selling our cigarettes and everything, and he had given some to his kids' mom and told her the story, and that was actually his ex. She's not really a fan of him. So she went to work and told people that she worked with about it. they ended up calling it in, and then detectives went to her house and questioned her, and she just put everything out there. So we ended up getting locked up for that. I was in the county for 8 months before I got sentenced. When I was sitting in there, I don't know if anybody's ever been in Huntington County Jail. It's pretty small compared to Allen County. There's like 8 blocks. I mean, I don't know, maybe 20-something people at the maximum in a big block. But I was playing poker one day, and the door popped open, and that guy Josh came in carrying his mat and everything. And out of anywhere in the jail that he could have went, they put him in my cell. So I figured he was probably going to fight. So I took my shoes off and went in the room. And he dropped the stuff and he gave me a hug. And he had told me that he had gotten a relationship with Jesus, and that's all the Bible's all about, forgiveness. So I think there was about 4 or 5 months that I had in the cell with him there before I got sent to prison. And he started doing a Bible study thing with me every night. And at first, like, I didn't want to read. I just listened to him, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know, after a couple of days, about a week or so listening and kind of getting into it, then I wanted to take turns reading. And I don't know, then we got pretty into it. Then other people in the, you know what I mean, the block would come in there. And but that was probably, I said December of 17, that was probably the time when I started knowing Jesus, I guess. I put myself in his shoes, and there was, I wouldn't have forgave me. There's no way. but, I mean, if something, you know, it was strong enough to be able to help him do that, then I knew it had to be something serious, you know what I mean? So I wanted that in my life. But I ended up getting sentenced to 10 years, 4 suspended, 64 and a half. I got sent to Westville. I didn't use meth the whole time I was there. I did use Suboxone. I smoked some Tune and everything when I first got there. The wait to get an RWI program was just ridiculous long. And I got a job in a kitchen, a production kitchen. I started hanging out with this guy, and we started making hooch every day, all the time. We constantly made hooch. We'd sell a gallon for a quarter strip of Suboxone and just get high. And then we made some hooch in the kitchen one time, and I got drunk while I was at work, and they called me out on a pass for my assessment test for the RWI program, and I took it drunk. They said I was being loud and disruptive and disrespectful to staff, so they put me on a 180-day program restriction. And I got really lucky because if they would have known I was drunk, I would have, you know, I mean, I would have got sent to lockup and everything. So that wasn't that bad, I guess. But then my counselor, Ms. Dietz, I explained the situation to her, and I obviously didn't tell her I was drunk and whatnot. But she said that she could possibly change me from a 2I to a 2O. So I could go to outside defense to level 1 and be able to do the program out there so I could get in it quicker. And that's what she did. And she moved me out there. And I got the program, I think, 3 months after that. So while I was in the program, RWI's recovery while incarcerated. It used to be purposeful incarceration. It's something that the courts do to help people with drug addictions and everything, and help them, you know what I mean, make it purposeful while you're incarcerated instead of just sitting there dead time. Most people in the program really don't take it serious. You know, they're just there for a six-month time cut and have a chance to modify or whatever when you're done. I really took it serious. The whole thing with the way that happened with the kitchen and everything, the assessment test, I kind of look at that like, I mean, it was like God showing me that I was so close to being able to lose everything, but he didn't want me to. I guess that's how I looked at it. It was like he kind of moved me around with like I was a chess piece or something. It was kind of opened my eyes. And then when I was in the program there, I found out about, you know, addictions and everything, and that it's really not the drugs and whatnot's the problem. It's you have underlying issues. You know, everybody, I just about guarantee it, everybody has an underlying issue of why they use, you know, whether they're trying to numb something or hide something or whatever, just instead of dealing with issues. So, you know, I kind of dug into stuff and found out that abandonment thing. I mean, I didn't think it was a big deal, or maybe I just told myself it wasn't for a long time, but that was really hanging me up in life. And at some point in there, I wrote a forgiveness letter to my mom, and that helped me out tremendously with being able to move forward. After 8 months, I finished RWI program, and I wrote a letter to the judge, and he agreed to give me a modification hearing, so they brought me back to the county, and the judge said I did amazing. You know, I had one C write-up the whole time I was in there, because I used the bathroom during count time, so it was really like a minor thing. It wasn't anything serious. He was just really happy with, you know, the way I did and everything, and that I tried to make something out of it. You know, like when I was in there, I ended up, my counselor was Miss Torres, and she had really taken a liking to me and said I had like a lot of wisdom and stuff that I could share with people, and so she had me be like her helper, I guess. So I would kind of help with classes, or I'd run, you know, like the NA program we had in there, or things like that. But that all looked good, so the judge modified me. After 28 months, so a little over 2 years, which was pretty awesome. But he told me I had to get released to a halfway house. So I sat in a county jail. I tried everyone that was a six-month program because I just wanted to get it done and be done with it. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to... I mean, they told me to try the Salvation Army. I guess they go through them a lot. People on the block told me 13-step house, Freedom House, I think. I don't know, there's a whole bunch of them. I wrote letters. I had my brother trying to call them and fill out applications for me and send them in and everything. I never heard back from Salvation Army. The 13-step house said they were full. The Freedom House said they were full. Literally everybody said they were full except for the Dream Center. And that again, I look at it like I was supposed to go here. There's no doubt in my mind. God definitely had a plan for me to come here. So I ended up, like he said, the day he came in there to talk to everybody. I'd actually seen him one other time when I was in Westville. They came and did some thing there. I think a lady was doing something with the basketballs and whatnot. And I remember seeing Kelly and Donnie there. So I recognized him when he came in. And I had actually done squats and stuff the day before, so I could barely walk. And when he came in, He only talked for like 30 seconds and we started leaving, and I was struggling trying to get up and run out there to give him the thing, and I barely caught him right when he was walking out the door. But he fist bumped me and told me, "I got you." So I don't know, it was a couple days after that. Then he came and picked me up. I had absolutely no clothes. I had my khakis from Westville, my state boots, state coat, state hat, state whites. That's what I had on when I left. When I got to the house, immediately the other guys in the house, you know, they were loving and caring. They gave me clothes, you know, to get me out of my stuff. 2 days after I got out was Thanksgiving. And you're supposed to be on a 30-day blackout period where you pretty much, you don't leave, you can't talk on a phone, you know what I mean? That's just what it's supposed to be. Donnie actually let me go to my mom's house so I could have Thanksgiving with my kids and my family. And I really appreciate that. I've been able to stay in a word just about every day. I got almost a perfect record on my phone here where I'd get in the Bible and read. I'd started at Luke, and I'm in Philemon. I used to call it Philemon, but Matt straightened me out on that. So I'm making some progress there. I get to take my girls to church every Sunday. I'm pretty happy about that. After church, I get to go to my mom's house and hang out there with them for a few hours. Actually, the past 2 weeks, I hit a point in the program where he trusts me to do like weekends over there. So from Friday to Sunday, I keep them over there and we just hang out and do stuff, you know what I'm saying, like you're supposed to do. And I bring them, like I said, I have three of them. I bring them one by one every Sunday. We go to, we come to Fort Wayne and feed the homeless. I bring them one at a time so I could have, you know, individual time with them. And that was something they actually asked me if they could do, you know, because I told them about doing it and they were pretty excited about it. So I have pretty awesome kids. Two weeks ago. They had a daddy-daughter dance. I finally got to take them to. Oh, man. I wish I had pictures because I'd show you guys.
Don't worry about it. This is his beautiful three little girls dancing. Look at them babies throwing their hands in the air like they don't care. Huh? Daddy, daughter.
Yeah.
One. Daddy, daughter. Number two, daddy, daughter, number three at the dance, and all of them with their daddy.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know. Just the whole experience here has been amazing. Since I started learning who Jesus was and walking with him, it's gone pretty good. They told me to say a Bible verse, so this is the one I got. It's Galatians. Oops, hold on. Man, my finger's shaking like crazy.
Dude, your whole body's shaking like crazy.
I guarantee it. it's Galatians 5:13. It says, "For ye have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters." But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love.
Yes. Amen.
So that's what I got.